Hey everybody, Jason Burmis here, and we are going to be talking about quantum computing now becoming more of a commercial venture. So in other words, you're seeing some of these technologies now making their way into the public arena, and I think that this is an extremely important topic because it continually ties into what? The Google-NASA connection. In fact, the two videos that we are going to highlight here today are directly from Google. So I want you to keep in mind, you know, that is going to be part of the propaganda, the sales pitch, the finish. But even what they're allowing you to know, in my mind, is a big deal, because when Davos is having forums in 2020 of when humans become cyborgs, and a lot of this Internet of Bodies technology is now being just pushed everywhere, we have to be fully alert and aware. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to preface this with a few stories and talk a little bit about quantum computing before handing it over to the first part of this Google presentation. And for the most part, this kind of just steps you through what quantum computing really is, what a qubit is, what it can be at the same time, because it's not just a zero or a one. A regular bit is a zero or one, and that's how you have binary code, right? And I've been following this very, very closely since, you know, for a long time, but 2016, 2017, okay, when I went to Bilderberg, I thought that that was a big thing, that quantum computing was bringing in this AI and this transhumanist agenda rather rapidly. So the first piece, aside from the propaganda, is pretty good. Also, it kind of references what I talk about all the time, this NASA-Google partnership, okay, that achieved quantum supremacy in 2019. So this video is like 2.5 years old-ish, okay? But before we even get there, okay, and I tell you where to go, we're here. We're at room temperature quantum computers, and I'm going to talk about this. This is a company called Quantum Brilliance and a new type of quantum technology, right? Because there's a lot of hardcores out there. There's a difference between types of quantum computing, the D-Wave systems. We're using quantum annealing. I did videos on Geordi Rose because he was talking about what? He's talking about basically the multiverse. Well, we're going to see what Google was talking about 9 years ago. So the other video is actually Google and NASA's quantum artificial intelligence apparatus. All right. So before we get there, thumbs it up, subscribe, and share. We get banned on YouTube all the time, but I still need you. I still need you, YouTube. Demonetized over 3 years, right? We can't even make money here for citing government documents, playing officials, having real commentary beyond this false left-right paradigm. Rockfin has all my stuff uncensored. You can make the free account right now. I encourage you to do so. We're going to probably hit 57,000 followers very, very shortly. So please consider coming on over there. Hit that subscribe button if you do want to support the broadcast. $9.99 a month or $99.99 for the year you endorse me. You get everybody. We're also all over the bean. You're getting the vidcast. You're getting the audiocast. You're getting the RSS feed. And this is something, again, we paid to do to reach more and more people. So please share the bean. We're rumbling. Again, can't live stream on Rumble without a paid account. They still demonetize things, even though I'll be lucky to make that $25 a month back on Rumble. But we have to grow. We have to bring more people in. It doesn't matter what side of the spectrum you see yourself on. I'm on the reality side of the spectrum. So if you want to buy me a coffee, the link is down below. Another great way to support me. And watch all the documentary films. Share them online, free. Loose Change, Final Cut, Fabled Enemies, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, and Shade the Motion Picture. So before we get to the Quantum Brilliance and this room temperature computer, because I do want to read some of the tech there, I want to also say that now it's being made available to the public all over the place, right? So if you look at this one, a quantum computer that encodes information in pulses of light has solved a task in 36 microseconds that would take the best computer system, supercomputer, at least 9,000 years to complete. Wow. And even when they get there, all that really does seem like you're guessing. But what we have today, at least what's public, okay? Google was the first to do so, and we're going to watch this. in 2019 with its Sycamore processor, okay? So when we get to the video, we're going to go all the way back to 2019, and now you're seeing, right, that it's gotten to the point of 36 microseconds. I think in this it's something like 3.2 seconds or something like that, which is still incredible. And they actually talk about it failing the first time around. They had to do some recalibration, all right? But beyond that, okay, we have this other system. And we're going to go back to the home stuff because also in this video, they talk about how, you know, we normally think of, you know, computers as server racks, what's in our phones, etc. This is not that. Well, the thing that we led with is becoming that. Okay, so that just shows you this technology is at a rapid, rapid pace and being released on a consumer level at a rapid pace. The Time Crystal system could hold the secret to quantum computing revolutions. And remember, Bushnell tells you we're creating a second species. They've been nanosectioning the neocortex and silicon and replicating it for a long time. He admits, we don't have to know how it works, we just got to make it work. Okay? In an experiment seeming to defy the laws of physics, imagine that, scientists have created the first time crystal two-body system and may have some incredible implications for the future of quantum computing. In a paper published today in the Journal of Nature Communications, researchers from the UK, Russia, Finland describe how they created two time crystals inside a superfluid. In this case, a rare isotope of helium cooled to about 1/10,000th of a degree from absolute zero. And in this other technology that we were talking about with these home systems that can now be put on rack servers, they're using nitrogen, okay? But think about that. They got the fluid. This is all the public stuff. They've got the degree to the absolute zero. And it brought them together to touch each other, creating a coupled system that relies not on classical physics, but quantum rules. Time crystals might sound like something out of an Indiana Jones movie, a really crappy one, but they're actually much more awesome than that. They're one of those strange quantum phenomena that slightly baffle scientists. Their existence was only proposed in 2012. And for a long time, they were assumed to be purely theoretical. Okay? But this is real life, and that's what we're in. And this company called Quantum Brilliance, okay, is looking to bring this into every device. Okay? And when we talked about those qubits, right, this is a bit of a different system. The room temperature achievement was unlocked due to Quantum Brilliance's approach to quantum computing. Instead of the more common ion chains, silicon quantum dots, or supercomputing transmin qubits, Quantum Brilliance took advantage of naturally occurring nitrogen vacancy centers in synthetic diamonds. These vacancy centers amount to defects in the diamond structure, which feature a photoluminescence capability that allows for the qubits' spin states to be reached based on an emitted light characteristic without directly interacting with the qubits. A number of the techniques, such as magnetic or electric fields, microwave radiation, or light, can be used to directly manipulate the nitrogen vacancy center's electronic spin. And again, this is now going on the server racks. This is happening now. So, I always talk about the Google and NASA partnership because NASA's not putting you on the moon or bringing you to Mars. That's Hollywood nonsense. Okay? That's Johnny nonsense all the way around. Whatever they're doing in deep space, they're doing in deep space and have been for a long time. And they're not telling us about it. Okay? And Bushnell talks about robotics and nano swarms, right? You look at these collective swarm intelligence, right? Again, Davos 2020, what they're publicly speaking about. And then you look at the swarms that they constantly talk about in this 2001 document, sensor swarms, smart dust, co-opted insects. Again, collective swarm intelligence. You get it? It gets way, 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 way beyond that. Micro satellites, microsats, all this stuff, blast wave accelerators. that's the real program. Okay, that's the, you know, aside from the geoengineering and, you know, I would call this bioengineering, you know, that's it on the road to transhumanism. So we talk about this quantum supremacy. Let's let Google speak for themselves. And this will give you a good backdrop into how a lot of these systems work.
The tantalizing promise of quantum computers is that they can do certain tasks exponentially faster than classical machines. And the quantum supremacy experiment is proof that this is indeed the case.
The word quantum computer is a little bit misleading because it sounds like a computer. And when people think of computer, they think of a phone or a laptop. The truth is the phone and the laptop and even a very powerful supercomputer all operate according to the same fundamental rules. And a quantum computer is fundamentally different.
And now, again, with this new technology, whether it's fundamentally different or not, right, it's commercially available and it's put into the same form factors where you can actually buy these things and put them on a rack server.
The classical bit stores information as a zero or one, and a quantum bit can be both zero and one at the same time. If you have two quantum bits, then there are four possible states that you can put in superposition. With three qubits, it's 8, four qubits, it's 16, but grows exponentially.
The nice thing about quantum supremacy is that this is a very well-defined engineering milestone.
In a nutshell, what we're trying to do is we're trying to show that experimental quantum computers can surpass the best supercomputers in the world.
And when you talk about this stuff, the actualization of most of this technology is going to be encryption, okay? It's going to be encryption breaking. It's going to be software efficiency. Those are just some of the uses, obviously, but those are going to be the initial uses that get talked about.
To actually demonstrate quantum supremacy, we have these three steps. First, pick a circuit. Second, run it on the quantum computer. Third, simulate what the quantum computer is doing on a classical computer. We gradually increase the complexity of that circuit. At some point, it becomes completely impossible for the classical computer to keep up. Then we say we've achieved quantum supremacy.
We started building together the quantum chips to do this experiment. And then the evolution of the devices with more and more qubits and more complexity. It's very much an iterative process.
A lot of the work that we put in was not just these chips, but is also the infrastructure that you need to drive those chips. The cryostats that we install them in, all of the control electronics, software, all of this stuff is needed, and it all has to be developed.
So those chambers right there are just like such a stark difference from what you're going to see what they were doing 9 years ago. All right, I want to make that extremely clear.
When the experiment started, we were getting data from the experimentalists. We saw initially a beautiful straight line corresponding to our predictions.
Then right before we hit supremacy, it dropped much faster and it fell below the threshold where it needed to be.
And there's nothing we can do because we don't know how to analyze past that. So everyone's like, oh, we're screwed because it's getting really, really bad at large number of qubits.
It's like, well, maybe there's some really complex interaction between all the qubits.
It turned out that the reason was rather benign. We calibrated a little bit better and then this problem disappeared.
So there wasn't like a, oh, we did it.
I think we crossed it and then it wasn't clear that we crossed it. So we crossed it a little bit further.
It took me like a day to realize like, hold on, you know, this is actually experimental data. It's kind of amazing to see, you know, how well the theory works.
The processor that achieved quantum supremacy is called the Sycamore processor.
And it's parallel processing 2 to the 53 states, which is 10 million billion. And thus that enormous amount of parallel processing is what gives it the power.
When we run small chunks of the computation in the largest supercomputer in the world, our estimate is that it will take thousands of years to complete the full computation.
So there it is, 3 minutes and 20 seconds. And in only 2.5 years, a different processor has gotten down to 36 microseconds.
technologies are born this way. Let's say the space age started with a satellite orbiting Earth, and it was not doing much. It was just beeping.
The big
and check it out. Like that's you notice how they put in the NASA propaganda right there. You get it? See how that goes right there? The NASA propaganda. That's because it's part of the same team, same apparatus. That's why we just did that video on the Muskerade. Okay, if you haven't seen that, Musketeers, you need to see that because it shows you also the Central Intelligence Agency and NASA are very much in bed together, and it's more about the Strategic Defense Initiative Organization, a.k.a. the Star Wars program that started in the 80s, the weaponization of space. And, you know, later today when I talk about Biden and Putin, I'm going to be doing a video on that because now Biden's going to be giving these weapons directly to the Ukraine that supposedly cross a red line. Well, Russia weaponized space as well. So, you know, they right at our pace, and who knows what they actually have and whether they're bluffing and what goes on behind the scenes that we don't hear about. All right. So I thought it was really important to point out that they slide in that NASA propaganda because it's a partnership.
Technical achievement of quantum supremacy was really dependent on all this young talent who's kind of taken this and gotten it to work at a very technologically capable level.
We have reached a new computational capability. There are certain computations, the only place in the world where you can compute those things is here in our data center at Google Santa Barbara.
At least
for the first time, we're showing that we can solve a problem that is just infeasible to do on the biggest computers ever made by civilization.
And what's exciting is now we're ready to turn this over to the world and say, let's figure out what we can do with this.
The thing that excites me most is building a useful quantum computer. When we can give a researcher a tool that is unlike any other and say, great, figure out something cool to do with it. Mankind is pretty good at that.
Yeah, except for the NASA guy says that we're going to have to merge with the machines. That's eventually what that's not really great for the species. So this piece here, and remember, that's about 2.5 years ago. This piece here is about 9 years ago, and it's a little more cheeky, but it reveals what these guys really think, and they talk about a multiverse. And I want to say this right now. I think they're misrepresenting. I think they're wrong. I don't think the multiverse is a real thing. I think that when you talk about what's being promoted now as the theories of reality, a lot of people like to go with that matrix simulation theory, right? And then you also have the multiverse, which I think are very similar because they eliminate any possibility that religion is real in any way, any organized religion or any religion for that matter, right? That there could be intelligent design or some kind of a deity because everything has to be possible. I suppose in the multiverse, right? The way they want to theme it, everything has to occur, which is absurd. You know, and that takes away from our free will. And so would a simulation would take away from our free will. It would all be pre-programmed. And that's what they want you down to, zeros and ones. Okay? Non-binary. That's why it's part of the trans movement. It's really a transhuman movement into believing that nonsense. Okay? Nothing to do with your sexuality. All about you transcending your body, okay, into whatever form you want, because that's where this technology goes. So we're going to go to this right here where they promote the multiverse. And again, I'm not the one saying these things. This is Google and NASA.
Who was it that said, if you think you understand quantum physics, you don't understand quantum physics?
Consciousness, intelligence,
free will, determinism,
black holes, protecting the planet from asteroids,
Heisenberg uncertainty principle,
atoms, ion traps, nuclear magnetic resonance, superconductors, photons,
artificial intelligence, machine learning,
past and future, classical physics, time travel. I mean, the whole thing. I can tell it's going to get very hot as I start speaking, so tell me if I start to look really shiny. Quantum physics puts everything into question.
It defies every intuition you have about the natural world.
By the way, that guy I've done videos on as well. And you see where all the funding's coming from, right? And it's coming from Bezos. It's coming from the Defense Department. It's coming from Goldman Sachs, right? Yeah, the D-Wave machines in particular.
Quantum is a very strange regime of physics.
Things can exist in this state of superposition where they could be like ghosting on each other, where they could be this and that at the same time.
Entanglement.
Quantum entanglement.
Two objects, if they're quantum mechanically entangled, are still strongly related to each other, even though they can be a vast distance apart.
There's the notion of the multiverse. There's a whole family of Hartmuths in different states and going through different experiences and different life trajectories.
The famous one is quantum tunneling.
Tunneling
is the slippage between universes.
For a long time, people thought those effects only existed in the microscopic domain.
Like atoms, electrons, photons.
But really, it's the theory of our universe.
So if you want to build a quantum computer, you want to incorporate those new phenomena into information processing.
Maybe quantum computation is one of those instruments that's going to allow us to see quantum effects at the human scale.
Google and NASA have teamed up to share one of the world's first commercial quantum computers. This machine, made by Canada's D-Wave, will be installed in a NASA research center in California.
I mean, look at this propaganda right here. I'll give them this. This one is really well produced. But again, oh, NASA and Google working together. And remember, this is just like, this is them coming off their whole don't be evil train, right? We're riding it. When this is done and this comes off, it's like, you know, second turn, term of Obama. YouTube is still pretty free. You know, very rare you're getting stuff even demonetized, let alone taken off that platform, right? So they're still portraying themselves as benevolent. Look, we're great. Quantum computing, NASA, woohoo!
This is the inside of one of our dilution refrigerators. All of this infrastructure is to basically operate the chip at a temperature that's two orders of magnitude colder than interstellar space. The processor is a quantum computer.
It uses things called qubits, as well as being either one or a zero. A qubit can also be both at the same time, therefore bringing about a quantum leap in terms of power.
Harnessing principles of reality that are, up until very recently, completely not observable by us is just fascinating in ways that I can't completely articulate.
The overwhelmingly obvious killer app for quantum computation is optimization.
Optimization problems are extremely difficult problems.
Actually, all Google server centers together will not be capable of coming up with the best solution to these optimization problems as they get larger. So now, what is an optimization problem? Here, give you an example. You want to do a trip through South America and you want to visit a number of cities. And then you ask, what is the cheapest ticket I can get to visit, let's say, 20 cities? And you can, of course, different routes and different airlines. And sort of imagine I list all the different options I have for my different routes to travel to these cities.
We currently, as a civilization, we generate vast amounts of data. It could be climate data, genomic data, but it's very difficult.
Climate data, genomic data. In fact, when we go back to this, you know, document here from NASA, let's just type genomic in. Genomic. Oh, yeah, baby. What are we going to be doing with that? Genomically individual society targeted pathogens. Oh, that's good. Oh, we'll do that. That sounds like bio warfare. Huh. Bio on the battlefield. Weird. Meds and quote unquote health for sustainment. Put it right in the food and the water, huh? And then we see the lethality on there, right? And bioweaponry anti-personnel functional biovirus into a biocomputer. Oh, biocomputers, Internet of Bodies, July 2001, NASA. And this has all the climate stuff in it as well. Okay? Genomic design and repair of the human species. Really? Wow. Global warming. All right here. Oh, optimization. I wonder what the solution will be with these optimization problems.
To generate useful insights oftentimes from that data.
If you can solve optimization problems better, you have an important resource at your hand.
I think at least it teaches us that we shouldn't be naive about the world, that we shouldn't think about the world as a simple machine. It forces us to consider, you know, more sophisticated notions of how the reality around us is actually shaped.
I can't ask it how long I'll live or the meaning of life. Really, we don't know what the best questions are to ask that computer. That's exactly what we're trying to understand now.
To me, the most important question is, are we alone? And I have a feeling that quantum computers, as they mature, are going to help us answer that question.
This is, of course, a more long-term research endeavor, and there are still tremendous obstacles and big questions. Some of those will be addressed in D-Wave, some will be addressed at NASA, and some at Google.
I wasn't sure.
And by the way, I do like that part, right? Because it shows you right there kind of the compartmentalization of everything. And remember, NASA, you're talking about the NSA apparatus, the Department of Defense, you're talking about DARPA, okay? We're talking about the origins of NASA and those very first things in space, right? We're talking about ARPA before DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, all right? And look how much space, or like even right now, space propaganda is being put out there. Oh, we're going to the moon, and we're going to Mars, and it's interstellar. And really, it's just CGI. I mean, right, well, at least what you're seeing behind you, right? You understand what I mean? Like, everything is from a computer reality.
I would be able to experiment with a quantum computational device in my lifetime, and now I'm confident that I will be able to.
How amazing it is that we, with our monkey heritage and monkey brains and monkey fingers, have somehow lucked into a brain.
See, and that's the other thing. And there's NASA right there. Monkey fingers, monkey brains, luck. Luck. They take any spirituality out of all of it. You wonder why I question these things, right? You wonder why I harp, man, I've been going so, I know a lot of you are annoyed probably at how much I've been going on NASA and Bushnell and Musk and all these things. But it's their coming out party. But now they're going to pose as the saviors, kind of as they always have. But behind the scenes, these are the bureaucrats that are running this transhumanist agenda, this military-industrial complex agenda.
That allows us to ask legitimate questions about the nature of physical reality. That's so cool.
It's that human risk to go forth into that unknown frontier, whether it's space exploration or quantum exploration. We do it because we must. We do it because that's what it means to be human.
And you know, I don't know much about the Jason Silva guy, right? The guy that's like in the proponent and gets most of the time there. But, you know, he seems like somebody who might not be on the transhumanist train in the respect of what's really going down. I don't know. That, you know, I want the secrets to the universe, too. I think it transcends all of us, right? Transcends your nationality. It even transcends your direct family in some ways and the origins of the human family. Wow. The interconnection of all of us. Yeah, I'm interested. I want to know. But in a lot of ways, I think we do know, right? It's about loving one another, taking care of one another. I say this all the time. Lies don't make friends. The more truth and love you have in your life, the happier you're going to be. I promise you that. So with that being said, guys, we are going to wrap this one up. I do need you to thumbs it up, subscribe, share. We talked a lot of quantum computing over here. Check out all the documentary films. They're free. That's one way to support me, and you can check up on a lot of my information, realize I've been doing this for a very, very long time, realize how integral 9/11 is to this whole deal. Loose Change Final Cut, Fabled Enemies, they're free. I just actually posted, if you follow me on Twitter, the end of Loose Change, which is really a music video with Remo Conscious, just thinking to myself, you know, if we had stood up the way we should have during 9/11 in this country, and we had demanded not only arrests and a real investigation, but prosecutions, we would not be in the situation we're in right now, where we're rolling towards that new world order defined that I portray an invisible empire and the people behind it that I told you about in Shade, a lot of which are in the news today. Okay, so they're all free. Financially support me at buymeacoffee.com. That link is down below. We are on Rumble. We are on the Podbean. You'll be able to get this in audio format over there as well. Get on the RSS feed. We do put up videos as well after the fact. Sometimes we stream live over there so you can call in, which is really cool. And Rockfin, $9.99 a month, $99.99 for the year. You hit that subscribe button and you endorse Jason Burmis, you get everybody's content. It's like a Netflix for creators. I want to thank you guys. I want to say again, it's not about left or right. It's always about right and wrong. We are in a battle for humanity right now. It is very apparent. It is in our face. Technology is moving at a rapid pace, and hopefully we can use it to empower ourselves and our loved ones and not let the predator class enslave us with a very real new world order, great reset, great narrative agenda. I love you guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.